Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Experiments by Google and others.
But mostly Google. And I'm going to show you how you can enter text easily. That sounds so stupid, but it's great.
And I will show you my favorite yoga app because it seems like you might need some Om.
Right Om. Now. It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. And by Texture. Access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your smartphone or tablet. Try it free for 14 days at texture.com/twit. And by Motive. The Motive Ring is a fitness and heart rate and sleep tracker that monitors activity while being comfortable and stylish. For $20 off your first order, visit mymotive.com and enter iOS Today at checkout. So now we know that you can just tell me, shut up, I'm talking here.
Yes, we learned that from your mom. We also learned that she invented something that I need to hear more about that kills gophers.
Well, first let's say hello and welcome to iOS Today. Leo Laporte, Megan Maroney. And my mom neglected to mention that the gopher trap that she invented, she even had a trademark name ready for it. Go for it.
That's so great. John is waving at me over there, maybe saying it didn't kill them. It just keeps them so you can keep them as pets.
Yeah. You could have a little gopher house. go away, gopher. Gopher away.
So
yes, she's very humane. She didn't want to kill him.
No. We have barely recovered from your mom being here. I got to step it up a lot, I realize. I'm Megan Maroney, not Leo's mom.
Oh, by the way, that's very true. I could be your mom if I just had a nice wig. This is a show about iOS. That would be, in our definition, of course, the iPad and the iPhone, but also the Apple Watch, even though they call it WatchOS. We consider it part of the iOS family. And the Apple TV, which they call TVOS. But again, notice that whenever iOS gets updated, all the rest get updated. Mm-hmm. We think they're related.
We do. We've decided. So today we're going to talk about some experiments, which is a silly word that I like to say a lot. And I could not figure out how to spell for a while, but
experiments. It's apps.
But the X is from experiment is PPS, experiments.
Yeah. It's Google came up with a name. They put out a memo, a blog post about a week ago where they announced three experiments. Two of which were on the iPhone, one of which is iPhone only, and we're going to show you those. But then that stimulated our thinking. Mm-hmm. Well, your thinking. My thinking's dead to the world. But your thinking was stimulated. You said there must be others, and we have found a few more app experiments, interestingly, mostly from Google. Why don't you kick things off?
Well, should we start with the Google app experiments? My favorite is Selfissimo.
I knew you were going to say that. I love Selfissimo. Yeah.
It uses machine learning to find out when you're actually posing for a selfie and then snaps the photo there, sort of like a photo booth.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, machine learning, really.
I know.
Google says everything uses machine learning.
Let me show you.
It produces a great result.
Here's what it does.
It's like a photo booth.
And it also gives you compliments. So you can see as I'm striking, it says, pose. Strike a pose. And very good at
gorgeous.
That.
And magical.
It gives you.
You could do this, by the way, for a really long time.
You could do it until you stop. And then there is what it shows you.
What I like about it is it does look very much like you would get out of a photo booth. They're all black and white, high contrast. And it kind of makes it a film strip like a photo booth would do.
And then it saves them for you.
It saves it to the photo roll.
Oh, it saves you to your photo roll?
Oh. Yeah, here, let me do some here.
Okay, yeah, you do some.
Selfissimo. Okay, so again, we press start. Sometimes people do this. Ha. Huh?
Oh, yeah, I did
and
that.
And then this.
That's perfect.
Yeah. And.
And. Oh, I wanted to do it together because it could be two people.
Yeah, it's smart enough to say there wasn't, you weren't in there. There we go. Now we got enough. Okay. You press stop, and now we have what is effectively, it's an even numbered. And then you can see I did the half and then the other half.
Uh-huh.
See, people, I didn't quite get it, but I saw people doing
I did a half.
That.
I did a half because
I like, what I like is, I mean, it doesn't, it's just fun. And it, I mean, it's literally, the reason I think they call it an app experiment is because it's just a throwaway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's free and it's fun to have. And it's just one more fun camera to have in your collection.
And the other one they announced was Scrubbies, which that's sort of like the boomerang effect.
Yeah, but you have more control over it.
I have to be honest and tell you, I'm done with that effect. I'm sick of seeing it on
social media. I am too.
This
makes it better, though, because boomerang is really just like a second back and forth, mm-hmm. and it's really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
This way, we should get somebody to do something here. So you want to get an action. So you're going to, I'm taping a video, right? And I'm going to get a lot of different action. Okay, but notice I went longer. Now, the thing about the scrubby is,
okay.
I can pick the part of the action that I want. You see,
so much good stuff there.
It's kind of hard to know where to pick. Okay, so like, okay, so that, and the other thing that's handy is you can make it wallpaper, kind of, right? So then, what do I do? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Here's my footage. This is I had John dance for me last time.
Dance for me, John.
Yeah. I don't know what do you do after that though. I don't. Oh, there. Okay. Now I made him into a scrubby. That wasn't a very good one. Let's do one with you. Okay. Let's go back to your footage. Okay. So I guess what we're doing is we're picking the beginning and the end here. This is pretty good. All right. And then what? Then what? Yeah, so that's not the greatest, but it's frankly not that easy to use. But the idea would be you can control the beginning and the end better. The boomerang, what I end up doing is I shoot a bunch of boomerangs because you don't know exactly what it's going to look like. If you get it just right.
It can be funny.
It can be really cute. I think I did a superb boomerang on our last trip. I should find it for you, of a couple of people dancing in old-timey clothes.
Well, the
dancing's good. You want people to be moving, right?
The example they used was like popping a water balloon. And so
yeah, that's a good one.
And because like you only have it one, you know, there's only one chance really. You can't,
right.
I mean, unless you have a bucket full of water
balloons. So this makes it easier. That's actually a very good example because this makes it easier. You just shoot that and, you know, with boomerang, you would hope you got it at a good moment.
Right.
But this way with Scrubbissimo, you can...
Scrubbissimo.
Although it could be called Scrubbissimo.
Yeah.
You get to pick the portion of the water balloonage that you want.
Well, because, you know, Apple does this now in iOS 11. They do, it's called like Bounce.
Yeah. And they let you pick, right?
Well, it's a live photo. So
you're really stuck with. Well, it reminds me of, actually, speaking of live photos, this was an earlier Google app experiment. They didn't dub it such. But it will take, and this is actually a good thing if you use an iPhone, because it will take your stills, your motion stills, and it will save them out as an animated GIF so that you can share it in places. This is less useful now than it used to be, because nowadays Apple's made it that the animated GIF works pretty much everywhere. Is it GIF or GIF? I don't know.
GIF.
Okay. So some of these are just... live stills that I took, here's a guy in a cheese head. Okay, there's Abby and Jennifer. See, that's kind of cute. So let's take that.
Oh, isn't that pretty?
Yeah. Now we should take. We can, by the way, also loop it, right? If you wish. So you can do that, and you can add text. You can turn off the sound, which you want to do, obviously. So I'm going to decide to loop it. And then you could put, you know, I don't know what else. You could do other things.
I think getting ready for the posed photo is really where the genius is in all of these looped photos.
Yeah, because that's what you're getting, isn't it?
Right.
Is people preparing.
Yeah.
This is motion. Okay. And then we can save it. And you can export it as a Apple-style live photo. But if you're sending it to other people who are might be, heaven forfend, not on Apple devices, you can do it as a video or a GIF or a GIF. It doesn't decide. So I've turned it into a GIF, and now because it's a GIF, I can send it, you know, let's send it to you. Yeah. Let's send it over to you. Would you like that?
I would love it.
Okay.
It came fast.
It's not very big.
Okay. Except.
It's not very big. So
now
there
it
is.
I have it.
And now you have. Yeah, that's too bad about the puts a little motion stills in the lower right hand corner. But now you have that.
Yeah.
And so this is, I feel like Scrubbies is kind of their version, like another iteration of motion stills. But motion stills came out, I don't know, almost a year ago. It was really, what it really was, is Google's response to live photos, because at the time Android couldn't handle them. Mm-hmm. And so they said, well, we're going to give you something that can make something you can message to your Android friends. So I think that that's still useful. I mean, in some ways I'd say it's more useful than Scrubbies.
Yeah. And here's what iOS does to every photo. If you just, whatever photo you take. If it's a live photo, it's going to give you the loop. So I can
see.
And
you have some buttons you can press. Yeah.
And yeah, I could probably adjust that, or it'll give
you know what? That's doing something special. Did you see how it's doing the ghosting thing?
Yeah, it's because it's
now you're bouncing. But the other one, it had a ghost of the.
So looping. This is the loop.
See that? It's some kind of weird. Oh, I guess it's a dissolve. That's what it is. At the end of the loop, it's a dissolve.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a little less jarring sometimes than the boomerang jump cut.
Yeah, and then it also does the long exposure, which I guess there'd have to be a specific use case for that.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you a use case. So if somebody's running across the frame or, you know, there's some sort of motion where they're moving through the camera picture. Mm-hmm. It's not so good with Anthony sitting there. That's Anthony Nielsen, mm-hmm. our lovely editor and
creative. And teddy bear lover.
And what?
Teddy bear lover.
You said tender lover, and I thought, well, that's interesting. I didn't
teddy
know that.
Bear lover.
Teddy
Thank
bear lover.
Thank you for letting me clarify that.
If somebody's moving through the frame, then it would make more sense, mm-hmm. because you'd see kind of individuals of that.
Right.
So I just think the point is that you have all these kind of fun tools. Now, let me ask you, does Apple do stabilization of video in its built-in apps? I don't think it does. Microsoft years ago, I think it's 2015, we decided, Scooter X looked it up, I think May 2015, came out with what it called an experiment from Microsoft Research Labs called Hyperlapse. Mm. Now, the good news is that while Hyperlapse is only available for Windows at this point, you can get Hyperlapse from Instagram now. Facebook, which really has no reluctance to steal stuff, they said, hey, it's an experiment. I'll show you. This is something I did with the Microsoft Hyperlapse. This is a video I took of a bus ride through London. So what Hyperlapse does is it does a time lapse, but it then smooths it out. So this is a really kind of cool effect because camera motion is smoothed out. It doesn't look stuttery. It's basically a time lapse. So this is Instagram's Hyperlapse, which was I bring it up because it started as an app experiment from Microsoft. And Microsoft is making a big deal about how, you know, we can only do this with a Windows phone because it has special hardware built in that makes this possible and is collecting information. And so Instagram said, yeah, not really. And we can do the same thing. I'm pretty sure I did this with the Microsoft version, not the Instagram version. But it's frankly hard to tell. But I think it's a neat effect. You just, again, it's one of those things that's good to have in your kit. And then just kind of know, I've done hyperlapses of, for instance, a boat going through a canal, a lock in a river, and things like that. And it makes it kind of fun. And the stabilization really makes a big difference because, you don't want it to look too jerky because it's annoying to people. This just kind of feels like fun. And it really illustrates how bad the traffic is. By the way, the sun was going down and it was, I think, probably a 15 or 20 minute bus ride. But at the beginning, it's daylight. By the end of it, the sun has gone down. So
that's
it's
a really great video.
Isn't it fun?
I mean, imagine what someone would have paid for something like that.
To have that made?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just sitting in the front of a double-decker bus up at the top. See, the camera tilted. I had to actually, whoops, and I tilted. It's not a camera. It's an iPhone. And I tilted it forward. But it's kind of fun to have. And you see how hard it is to get through London during rush hour because it's very stop and go. And you see the pedestrians and bicyclists running out of the way of the bus. A lot of bicyclists in downtown London.
So I have another one from Microsoft. This is from Microsoft Garage.
Same place.
That's their experimental.
I should have said Garage, yeah.
And, you know, they put out apps and then they take them away. There were a lot that I've used before. There was the one called Fetch that could tell what kind of dog.
It says that in the Bible. Microsoft giveth.
giveth and they Microsoft take it away. They give us, in the Bible it says.
Says that.
They give us apps that tell us what breed our dog is and then they
That was cool,
away.
Wasn't it?
But that one's gone, but now they've replaced it with something called Outings. And Outings is an app. It's really an iPhone app, but it is an app where you can see amazing things to do and places to go. So you tell them what you're interested in, what kind of vacations you're interested in and stuff. And I might want to go to places nearby. So did you know that there's Castello di Amoroso in Napa? Have you
no.
been there?
Wow.
Or we can go to the Sibley Volcanic Regional Park, probably. And I can read about it, and I can say, that looks really great. I would like to go there in the Oakland Hills, so I'm going to save it. And let's see. I want to go to Duncan Mills, California. Or actually, you know, you have been talking a lot about how you want to go to the beach so, and how much you like seaside crags. I know how fond you are of the crags.
I think of myself as a seaside crag sometimes.
And so I could share that with you, and I could share it in a message or mail, or I could just add a reminder to myself and put it in reminders and go to see the seaside crags. So you can create a bucket list for all the places that you want to go to. I have these saved. I want to go to the Sibley Volcanic Regional Canyon. I saw this camping auto camp by the Russian River, where you can rent these little, what do you call those again? The little silver camping things. You know what those are called.
Airstreams.
Airstream trailers.
It's my dream in life to have a studio and a small Airstream and travel around the country.
Okay, well, I'm going to send that to you.
How come your app, your icons are... I've seen that happen with iOS 11.
Yeah. I think maybe because it's not a really designed for the iPad. It doesn't do that in the...
No, it's the share, but that was the share sheet.
Yeah.
I don't understand why the share sheet would be messed up like that. Yours was... Yeah, because normally you'd see the icons of the apps. But I think that's an iOS 11 bug. There are a number of cosmetic bugs in iOS 11. How about an app that was developed with a Kickstarter?
Yes.
When I saw this Kickstarter, I thought, yes, this is what I've always wanted. Do you ever walk around as you're taking a walk and see a plant and you go, what is that? I love that, but what is the name of it?
Don't you have something on your Google phone that will do that? Like Google
Lens? Theoretically, but I think this does a better job. It's called Plant Snap. And here's the Kickstarter, identify plants with an app. So this was last fall, a year ago, that they raised $28,000 to do it. And now you can get it. You don't have to, you know, it's not a, you don't have to do a Kickstarter anymore. And what's interesting is Plant Snap is getting better and better as people take pictures. And Plant Snap, if it doesn't identify it, they say, oh, you know, send this to us because we want to add. And at this point, they say there are tens of thousands of plant species. And it's, of course, very good in areas where people use iPhones, like North America. So I'm logged in. What we need is a plant. Oh, wait a minute. Here's a poinsettia. It's spelled poinsettia.
Uh-huh.
Let's see what plants.
It's not real either.
Well, oh, that would be even better. Okay. So I'm going to, for most accurate results, take a properly framed photo. Okay.
You got the chat room in there too. Good.
Yeah. For more accurate results, pinch and move with your fingers to zoom and properly frame your photo. There you go. Okay.
That's
I mean, if I showed that to you, you'd say it's a poinsettia.
Yeah. Or I'd say it's a poinsettia.
Look at that.
Poinsettia.
This is our top suggestion for the plant you just snapped. You can find out more information by tapping on it. Sometimes.
Does it think it's real?
99.1% confidence that is a poinsettia euphorbia pulcherrima is a shrub or something. And then look at all this information. So I carry this now all the time when we take walks because it's so great to when you see a plant. It does very well. I haven't found a plant that I can't identify here in North America, but they say there are a few things that it can't identify. So I'm going to accept that. That gives them, by the way, feedback that it is going to, you know, get it, that it got it right. So I've added poinsettia, euphorbia.
Does it tell you not to eat it?
It does.
Good. So like when you're walking and you're hungry,
yeah,
you can just.
It gets this from earth.com. It's also found in the interior in the hot, seasonally dry forests of Guerrero, Oaxaca, and Chiapas. However, reports of Euphorbus pulcherrima growing in the wild in Nicaragua and Costa Rica have yet to be confirmed by botanists.
Huh.
Here's an opportunity. Go find one in the wild. And you could see the kingdom, phylum, class, family, genus, species. I left out order. Kingdom, phylum, class. They've changed this. Now they do subkingdom, superdivision, and division. Mm. In my day, mm-hmm, all we had was phyla. Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, and species. And you could say the habitat, so forth. So I wish I had another plant. Let's just try it, maybe with you.
Yeah.
See if it can identify you. You ready? Mm. Oh, you know your blouse. You know what? Let's cancel that and do your blouse. Okay. That actually,
yes,
is better.
Because
you are wearing plants on your blouses. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take a picture of your blouse. Oh, this is good. It's a see if it says painting of a rose. What do you think? Identifying. Very confused. Wow, it came up with something. 59% it thinks it's a begonia.
Oh.
Is it a begonia?
I think it's a painting of a rose, but...
Well, that looks like a lot like... That's a begonia.
Might be a begonia.
Looks a lot like a begonia. You know, it's the fifth largest angiosperm genus.
Oh, you know what? I bet this is a begonia.
All this time you thought it was roses. Yeah. It's begonias.
Begonia.
Son of a gun. Thank you.
Son of a begonia.
Thank you, Plant Snap. Son of a begonia. So that's Plant Snap, and I think it's free. I'm pretty sure it's free because they already got $27,000 for Kickstarter.
That's well, that's all well and good and very useful, but have you ever wanted to control a game with your eyebrows?
Yes, and yes.
I thought so. So this is an experiment. It's created by a Washington University computer science grad called Nathan Gitter. That's his name. And it's
Rainbrow.
You can only use it with an iPhone 10 because it's taking advantage of the depth sensing cameras.
This
and
is
so
awesome.
You can see the game behind me. I'm mirroring it, and I am trying to catch the stars. So
you should be really good. I don't want to say anything, but you should be really good at this game.
Eyebrows. So I got to look angry and get that star, and you got to avoid the basketballs. Oh, let me try again. So it's free, and if you're concerned with what it's doing with your face data, you can read his privacy policy. He says a lot of things like he's not going to sell it to anyone, he's not recording the live video of your face or anything.
It's a shame we have to think about these things now.
Yeah, but yeah, that's basically all there is, this game and the privacy policy. I'm not selling the video because, I mean, who would want a video of themselves doing this out there in the wild? That would be really embarrassing. No
so
one's watching
you,
me, right?
You go like that to jump up.
Yeah, like you go
flat to stay still.
Raise your eyebrows
to
go
down.
Up, and then, yeah. And it helps to grunt. It's addictive, isn't it?
It's exhausting. I'm going to have a headache.
Well, I think it's probably good for your face muscles, too. Good exercise.
I'm trying to stay at the top.
You're trying to catch the stars. So
there's a star down there.
Yeah, and avoid the cars and basketballs and soccer balls for some reason, and clouds. Ooh, we got a new high score. You're very good at this. Oh my goodness. I would like to see his face too. Could we see his face? Thank you.
I'm extremely good at this.
You are.
Oh, I hit a car. That is really fun. What's your high score?
15.
All right, I just got 11.
That's pretty good.
I'm gonna do this some more. That is really hysterical. Wait a minute.
Here, we should both play. Oh. in my microphone. I wish we could play together and, like, knock each other over with our expressions. You don't find it easier to grunt? I'm like, oh my God, he's really good at this.
This is the most fun I've ever had. I could tell, though, I'm going to have sore brows in the morning.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. It's good for your face.
Is it?
Yeah, your facial muscles, because otherwise if you don't use them, then your face goes soft. I don't know.
Okay, this is the most fun I've ever had in my life.
I have more.
Rain brow. That is a great experiment.
Yeah. Thank you, Nathan Gitter.
Very nice, Nathan. Bravo.
So it only works on the iPhone 10. It won't work on anything else.
Yeah, because it's got to know your brow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's actually, it really works well. I mean, you really do control it with your expressions. That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, but my forehead does hurt a little bit. It is a little.
I'm telling you, you're going to have have to go soak your head in the hot tub.
Okay.
Ice your forehead.
So another place where I find app experiments is a website called BetaList. And they basically
You told me about this. I have to join the BetaList. Is it a mailing list?
No, it's just a website. I mean, okay. Yeah, it's an email list. Okay. So I found this.
It's like Product Hunt.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But they're in beta. Like, you know, sometimes things aren't even out yet, but just kind of seeing what people are working on.
Nice.
And something I found here is Forager. It's a messenger bot for Facebook Messenger that helps you find deals on clothes. So you can show my screen now. So here's the conversation I had with Forager. So you can see that I started talking to Forager at 9 p.m. on Saturday, and... they took a while to respond to me, but that's why I said, hello, are you there? And so then let's see if I can start over with Forager. You just tell Forager your favorite brands. So if I want Forager to send me sales once a week, how about every other day?
And this is my new favorite website. There's a lot of good stuff on here. That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, some stuff is, you know, I don't swear by anything on here. It could break your system. Who knows? I mean, no one's testing this but you. So I tell the brands, and then I click next, and then I can say all the items I'm interested in seeing sales, my size.
Oh wow. And then so it really knows a lot about you, and then when it's foraging, it will pick stuff,
right?
That's
and then
cool.
So I've done my sizes, my budget. Got off my sizes, please. And then it will show me some sales. Let's close that because it already showed me some sales. It says, nice job. I'll start by getting to work foraging for you. In case you were wondering, I'll tell you now, I'm a raccoon. I don't know what that means. So here's what it shows me. Some Vans that are on sale, some pants, and I can click and it'll go to the website and I can buy those things if I want to. I like sales. I like shopping. And so this has been interesting.
I like sales and they like me. I want the, what do you call those, pegged pants? Pegged pants.
Mm-hmm. And then I can say, like, oh, save this for later, more like this. I wish it would tell me I don't want that. Like, I'm not interested in the Michael Kors for a keychain for $36 or the Kate
Mm-mm.
Spade women's gloves or these pants. I can't imagine wearing that. And, yeah, so this is an interest. Bots are, as you can see, not perfect. It said that same thing several times, but I am a fan of this one. Do you have a new one?
Yeah, I found this on BetaList. Okay, you have to talk passionately. See, I blew it because I you have to talk passionately for 30 seconds.
Okay, are you was I not talking passionately?
Let me try it. Okay. So I just found a new program on BetaList. This is called Voice Trainer, and it is to help you find your authentic voice. In other words, if you're a public speaker or you need to, I don't know, do what we do or do narration, or maybe you just like to have, you know, a voice that communicates more accurately how you feel deep inside, this is supposedly an artificial intelligence training app that will help you well, right now, for instance, I'm recording 30 seconds of passionate speech. They said, do passionate speech. And then at 30 seconds, I hope it's going to stop. Oh, maybe I have to do a whole minute of passionate speech. It's even more challenging than I thought it was. But anyway, it's going to listen to my voice, and it's going to give me some feedback on how well I expressed my passion and whether I did it with I don't know if it's going to measure, well, like if you had a nice voice or if you just had a passionate voice. Or as you could tell, I'm punching a lot of the words, thinking that might be a way that it would say, oh, you're passionate. Wow, that was exhausting. Okay, let's submit that. It's analyzing my voice right now. I don't know anything about this. $4.99, it's not cheap. So I thought I'd spend the money so you don't have to. And see if this...
It's going to be off the charts.
What's my gender? I'm a male. Let's view my results. Oh, I got a 9 out of 10.
Whoa.
You scored extremely high on most of the key voice characters. You have excellent voice skills. You demonstrated voice characters that place you in the top group of influential and powerful speakers. But Leo, you can still do better. Identify which specific voice characteristics you can improve upon. Excellence in speaking takes practice. Oh, my weakness was volume modulation because I was going up in
who's
that.
Who's your celebrity
match? Oh, let's see who I match. Would it be funny if I matched me?
Yeah. Oh.
Christopher Hitchens.
Oh, interesting.
I sound a lot like Christopher Hitchens. I like him. My voice measurements. Pace average, 4.1 syllables per second. Pitch average. You see, I went up and down a lot.
Yeah.
My 27 dB pitch modulation, or 24 dB. So,
I need to use this. What's it called?
Isn't that cool? And I just found this. Here's my characteristics.
Voiceable?
Nope.
That's not what it's called.
I'll tell you in a second. I'm busy learning.
Okay.
How likely is the audience to judge my personality based on the amount of drive, energy, and positive attitude you express? I blew it. Where did it go? Tips and exercises. It's called voiceable. Learn more about pleasantness. God, I need to. It's primarily a function of pitch average. This is kind of cool. Master your inner voice. $5? I think this seems like it would be a very good deal.
Pleasantness is a voice impression. It's a general impression that your voice leaves on an audience. People with pleasant voices, people that audiences judge.
So this is a video in it that kind of gives you some tips. So it says it's really a voice coach in a box. Isn't that cool?
That is good, yeah.
Now I'm going to be... So they tell you passionate, but there might be some other things that you would try. So that's voiceable.
Voiceable.
It shows you... So this is what you're trying to get at. You know, this is what you're trying to... He is a staple of public discourse, Christopher Eric Hitchens. So, yeah. And actually, I liked his speaking. He was English, you know. You can actually say, oh, I sound like him? Let's see what he sounds like. And then they'll play a little sample and see if this sounds like me.
Moon to drop from heaven, for the earth to fail, and for all the many millions
like
on
a preacher,
it to die. In extremest agony, than that one soul, I will not say will be lost, but should commit one venial sin.
He's a famous atheist.
Did he die?
Yes, the late critic Christopher Hitchens. So, and I loved his books, which I think was, one of them was God Is Not Great. If you're not an atheist, you probably wouldn't like it much. Anyway, I don't want to... Actually, you know who could use this? Preachers, public speakers of any kind, people who want to be on the radio. I'm really impressed. Thank you, Beta List. Thank you, Megan Maroney, for turning me on to it.
I'm going to try that, too. I could use some voiceable. It's so impressive that you can just speak like that. It's
voiceable.
Like you do this for a living.
As if I did this for a living. By the way, some of the other celebrities you could sound like, one of them is Bill Gates. You don't want to sound like Bill Gates.
Not really. No.
You sound a lot like Bill Gates. Oh, thank you.
Sometimes you don't like talking to people like that. Sometimes I don't like talking to people like that. Sometimes I don't like talking to people at all. And that's why...
You love Rocket Mortgage, I'm thinking. Yes. I don't know. I'm just guessing that's where you're going
with that. Sometimes you don't want a mortgage broker that you have to talk to all the time.
Do you remember when you just bought a house? Mm-hmm. When you bought your house... Mm-hmm. What was the process like for you?
Well, we used a friend who was a mortgage broker.
Oh, smart move.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not friends anymore. So
is that true?
Maybe.
No, she's making that up. They're still friends. No. Yeah, I can't look. If you've got a friend in the mortgage banking business, you probably aren't going to use Rocket Mortgage. You're going to be stuck with the 18th century or 19th century way of doing business where you go have to go to somebody. Did your friend have a clipboard? Mine did 4 years ago when we went of rates. Like they print this out every day because they, what, no computer? And then he looks at me and he licks his finger. He goes through the rates, picks. Oh, I think you might be good for this. And then he has a special calculator. It was so sweet.
It's ready for a technological
revolution. Mortgage calculator. And he would enter it in and say, and then he'd show you, this would be your monthly payment. What do you think? And that wasn't even the worst part. Then you go home and you have to go through all your paperwork and find like your bank statements and your pay stubs and all this stuff and big tax returns. We went to a big bank, the big bank, and it took literally several months. We almost lost the house. Next time, Rocket Mortgage. You too. Next time, Rocket Mortgage. You have a friend at Rocket Mortgage. You do. Quicken Loans. Those are the people behind it. The best, absolutely the best mortgage company in America. I'm not making that up. They actually have the statuettes to prove it. Number one in customer satisfaction from J.D. Power. They just won it again in 2017 for mortgage origination, you know, the mortgage approval process, and for mortgage servicing. 8 years in a row for mortgage origination and 4 years in a row for servicing. And they're just going to get that year after year from now on because they created Rocket Mortgage, the easiest, simplest. You can apply simply, literally, it's so easy you can do it on your computer or your phone, literally on your phone. You could be at an open house. Answer a few simple questions. You don't have to go get bank statements or pay stubs because they've got relationships with all the financial institutions. They can pull all the information they need just like that. They say, is this you? Yes. Is this your bank? Yes. Can we ask them? Yes. And then literally in minutes, they're going to calculate it, run through all the numbers, and give you the choices that you qualify for based on income, assets, and credits. You choose the down payment. You choose the term. You choose the rate. You get the loan. You get that big red button, actually green button that says, you're approved. Show that to the realtor and you're done. There's another button that says, print out the letter of approval, which is great to carry around. Rocket Mortgage. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/IOS today. You can actually kind of start the process right now. And then when you're ready to buy a house, then it's even simpler. So maybe do that right now. Rocketmortgage.com/IOS today if you're house hunting. It's so much easier to house hunt if you are already approved because, well, it puts you in front of the line when you make an offer, frankly. Rocketmortgage.com/IOS today. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030. Bookmark it anyway. You'll be glad you have it. Rocketmortgage.com/IOS today. We thank him for making this show possible.
So
I should have recorded that in the voiceable. And see how I did then. Mm-hmm. Passionate.
On the screensavers,
yes.
We discussed some new smart speakers. We discussed the Google Home Max, and we also discussed the Amazon Echo. What else did we discuss? Oh, the Sonos. We discussed
Sonos.
The Sonos.
We've seen the Invoke.
Yes.
The Harman Kardon Invoke, which is Microsoft's Cortana.
What we haven't seen is the HomePod.
Oh, I have a solution for that.
You do.
We have the HomePod right here. You know, yeah. Apple said it's not going to be out till next year.
But we got one.
A mysterious guy in a dark limousine pulled up and dropped this off. I think his name was Burke.
Burke felt bad that we didn't have the HomePod, so he gave us this one.
But we've done this before. We did it with the Trash Can Mac. He made this to the size, not the weight, because it weighs 5 pounds, but the size specifications.
Not necessarily the color. This is a little
it's close.
Off-white.
But what I like is that you can now see, it's bigger than I thought it was, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
The Apple's logo is a little off, too.
it's a prototype. What do we say? It's an app experiment.
Here's the six microphone array.
It's a logo experiment.
The six microphone, the tweeters, the... Yep. Puffers,
yep.
Whatever else is in there. The internal
puffers? Did you say puffers?
What are Every time you describe it, it's like it has six tweeters.
Tweeters
and
woofers.
Woofers.
How many tweeters and how many woofers does it have?
A lot of tweeters and a lot of woofers.
A lot.
Six microphone array. Far field Siri. It has
that's the
high
microphones. Yeah,
excursion.
Yeah, yeah.
High excursion woofers. Not just any puffers or woofers. Yeah. Yeah. High excursion woofers with a custom amplifier.
By the way, you sound like, here's your celebrity voice match.
Show it screen.
Yeah.
It's too
here's
much.
Here's your celebrity voice match.
I am not
Hillary
be
Clinton.
Elected president.
You, that's your, that's based on pitch average, pace average. Your
oh
pitch
my
range,
gosh.
Oops, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Siri wants to get into the act. How do you get out of this?
How do you get out of Siri?
Yeah.
Just
it's
press
it's
the home button?
She's saying everything I say. Stop. Okay. Pleasantness, very good. Hillary's a little better on pleasantness.
Really?
But you're better
Hillary
on dynamism.
Is more pleasant than me?
Well, that's kind of depressing. Volume modulation. Volume range. So that's good. Your celebrity match.
I need some work.
Hillary Rodham Clinton, not the president of the United States.
What about the other stuff? Did it give me a low score and all the other stuff?
You did quite well, I thought.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. You want to hear Hillary? No, let's not.
No, probably not. I think I'm
not.
Done.
But here's some things that you could work on. Pleasantness.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's fun.
So yeah, here's our HomePod. Thank you, Burke. What did the note say that he put inside there?
It was an email.
Oh. No, I thought there was a note that said Megan and Leo.
Oh, wait a minute.
In an envelope.
You're right. There's
it says from Sir
fan
Johnny
mail
Ives.
From some flounder. Let's see. It says Sir Johnny Ive. Wow. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Johnny.
It says Sir Johnny Ives, which is confusing.
It does have the Sir triple underlined, though. Megan and Leon, I find that when I write, I need things to be quiet. But when I design, I can't bear if it's quiet. Enclosed, you will find a pitifully small version on a poster in my office. What? I don't know what this is. Look, here it is. Believe in your effing self. Stay up all effing night. Who's this?
I don't know.
Okay.
Is that Johnny Ive?
No, I don't think so. There's a lot of F words in that. The Apple HomePod, Sir Johnny Ives. No relation to Sir Johnny Ive. Thank you. It's not the HomePod, it's the Burke Pod. But as you know, this is now a tradition at Twit. Whenever there's a new product, we did this with the iPhone 6, the first big iPhone. Remember, he made a model of it in the right size, and so we could see how it would feel. He did it with the Mac Pro, the trash can Mac, and now he's done it again. Burke, you've done it again. It is the new HomePod.
It's harder than it looks.
Don't hit your head with a HomePod. Thank you, Sir Johnny Ives. Sacrilege. She just threw it across the table.
Okay.
Wow, that's nice.
It is really nice. He also made me a prototype to the invitation to the last Apple event.
I know.
It did not get me.
That was the closest we got.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here's a new segment I'm calling This Is Not the App You're Looking For.
Oh, good. I like it.
Because
Apple's search is so bad on the App Store.
Also, they're falling down on the job on letting in fake apps.
Twice now they've done it. Yes. First, they did it with a Bitcoin wallet, right? Mm-hmm. It was a imitation of the most popular Bitcoin wallet. And it became like the top 5, top 10 downloaded app in finance for some time. It was a fake. Now, did it steal people's information? No, I think all it did was put ads on your screen.
I think
like
so.
That.
Well, that's the thing. You don't really know if something has stolen your information.
I was really excited, though, when I saw yesterday that you could get Cuphead on iOS.
You can't, Leo. This is not the app you're looking for.
Oh, no.
Oh, thank you. Something.
You have food in your
I have
hair.
Food in my hair. Is it? It's HomePod in my hair. The HomePod when I hit it on my head.
Don't hit your head with the HomePod.
HomePod stuck in my
it
hair.
Comes off.
I'm glad you think it was food, though. Very messy eater. So that is not Cuphead. Cuphead is not available.
And it's gone now, fortunately. But now that one people made money on because they charge $5. Now, Cuphead, which is a million seller, $20 game for the Xbox and Windows, is not available for iOS. In fact, I don't think it ever will be. The company that makes it is talking about a Macintosh version. But I think there's so many people interested in Cuphead. It would be a really fun iOS game. Very disappointing. And I don't know if people will get refunds. They've pulled it off the... they even used artwork from the game. So it was very credible. And, by the way, the game comes from... what does that say? Stone... I can't quite read it, but it's... Yeah, it's the same name, except they added Incorporated. Mm. Studio MDHR Entertainment Incorporated. It's just Studio MDHR Entertainment, I believe. Or maybe it's just Studio... Anyway, how did that get by Apple? Now, I didn't download it. When you download it, is the game on it? No. Is Apple not looking anymore? Didn't they say, oh, we make sure we screen every app very carefully? Did they not even check to see if it came from the real developer? Did they not play it? This is actually extremely disturbing because one of the things we rely on for Apple is to keep us safe by not allowing malware into the App Store, but allowing fraudulent apps that steal your money into the App Store. Who's mining the mint? Mm-hmm. Very shocking.
The Bitcoin wallet was also $5.
So that's what it was. Yeah, it made money then.
I think we're kind of adjusting to the fact that, you know, we're going to have to start paying for apps. And it's not, you know, 2 years ago, it would have been unthinkable to see an app that was $4.99. Like, I'd never buy that. But now it's like, okay, you know.
Now we prefer it. You know why? And that's the freemium apps have soured us on free apps because the in-app purchases, you know, a perfect example is the Nintendo Super Mario Run, which... You could play, three or four levels, but then it wasn't it $20? It was very expensive, $10. And I think that really soured us on the whole idea that I want to pay for an app up front. Mm-hmm. Tell me what it's going to cost me up front, and I'll decide if I want to buy it. Right?
So you're not going to get your AirPods before Christmas, you slacker.
AirPods or HomePods? I'm not getting AirPods either?
No, if you haven't ordered them yet, you're not getting them.
If you haven't ordered your Christmas presents yet, a little late.
I don't know. There's a lot of things you could still order. They're backed up until January. Yeah.
You might be able to go into a store. You can use their online store to look and see if there's any available for pickup.
Well, no, these are available for pickup in January.
Yeah. Well, depends on your store. So what I'm saying is maybe some stores have some stock. Maybe. You could search around. If you're really desperate, you could drive to Chicago and get them.
But if you want Burke to make you some out of styrofoam.
Easy.
Megan at twit.tv.
Might get in your hair. That's the only negative.
Yeah. And you won't be able to hear anything out of them.
No. But you'll look like you have AirPods, mm-hmm. which is really all that matters. Mm-hmm. I have two sets. I told you that, right? I thought I lost mm-hmm. my first set.
Oh, I didn't know you found. Oh, yeah, I did know you found.
Yeah, and Michael was crawling around under our bed and said, what are these? And he found my old ones. So now I have two sets. So
One of them has stopped working. And I think,
that's very
I thought
bad.
It was like I started cleaning it out because I thought it was, you know, I've done several segments on how to clean it out.
You've been doing too much cleaning. Maybe. You might have broken it. Anyway, it's still under warranty.
Yeah.
You can bring it back.
Yep. Okay, so now I have some real products. Okay, so I just got my Apple TV 4K for the downstairs TV, which hangs on the wall, and I didn't want the wires. It plugs into the, so there's no wires hanging down, so I thought, okay, how am I going to mount this Apple TV on the back? And Marco was like, let me take care of it. And then I left the room and I came back and it was just rope and scotch tape and a mess, and I said, stop it. We need to order a product for this. And so I have two. One is the Hide It, and one is the Total Mount. And they are Apple TV mounts. Hide It was nice enough to send us a sample.
This is actually a really good idea.
Yeah. I mean, because you could just use, what's it called?
I have a audio, you know, cabinet underneath my TV where all this stuff lives on a shelf. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't, you just kind of have the Apple TV just kind of hanging off your TV.
Right. We don't
Much
want
better
that.
To mount it on the back of the TV there.
And I asked Burke, I was like, do you think that's worth it? Or would you just use, you know, the stuff we're not supposed
Duct
to
Duct tape.
Or
that's what Burke would use. He would just tape it to the back there.
Not
Velcro.
Velcro. That's what I was
hook and looper.
Like put a Velcro, a hook and loop on the back.
If you really wanted to be fancy, you'd use Velcro. I think that's what we used in Lisa's office. We Velcroed.
You just put a thing of Velcro. So this is watch TV clutter free. This is their.
I like
this. The Apple TV version 4 is a little bit bigger, so this is this one for that. And the Hide It was how much was that one, Kevin? I think one was a little bit cheaper than the other.
So is this plastic? No, it's metal.
Yeah, it's metal.
It's really nice, yeah.
So So that one is $13, and it's got all the screws, and then you don't have to. And then the total mount, which works for the, it's got an insert for the old, if you have a new Apple TV.
So the hide it is really for screwing into the wall.
The wall.
Because you're not going to have on the back of your TV.
You're not going
to
screw in
somewhere to screw into, and you really don't want to drill holes in the back of your TV. So this would be going on the wall, but this one has double stick tape on the back of it. So you could put it on the back of your TV.
And so what would you think? Would you rather put it on the back of your TV?
Well, it's just you have to decide. And you know what I do love about this? It's got cooling so that one of the things you really don't want to do is have the Apple TV right pressed against the wall or the TV because its fan won't work as well. This is actually probably a better choice. It's plastic, but I think because of the air cooling vents. And then you could put that on a wall or on the back of your TV because the double stick tape would work. And it has screw holes, so you could also, if you wanted to, use drywall screws, for instance.
Is that what those things are? These back things?
Yeah, those are mollies, but yeah, same idea. Yeah.
So you
I sound
would,
like a handyman.
You do, I know.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Did you just make that up?
Those are
really
molly bolts. Yeah.
What do you think, John? Is that really a molly?
Yeah, that's right.
So my question, so then Velcro would not be good because.
No, what I would do there is you take your Dremel, you drill a couple of holes into the TV there, and you just screw it in. Or if you wish.
Thanks, Norm. So you think this one.
There may be Visa mount hole screw. Do you think the Visa mount. Yeah, if your TV has a Visa mount on the back, you might be able to do that. Mm. Yeah,
it looks like
is that Visa appropriate? Okay, so he's
right.
John thinks those screw holes were where the Visa mount holes would go.
Unless you're using the Visa mount.
Right, but if you've mounted your TV on the wall as we did, because Burke very kindly came over and did it. Determine mount location. Stud versus no stud. Yeah, this is good.
So you think that Velcro would not be good because it wouldn't get air, wouldn't have air in there?
Yeah, I think this is probably a better idea because if you look at it, it has, you know, it's got a little separation and then a place for the heat to come out of the back there. I think that's actually a good idea. That's the total mount.
And this is for the old Apple TV and this is for
oh, nice.
The new Apple TV.
Oh, nice. It's got both. So. Yeah, that's really, actually, you know, I like that one. I like that.
So, yeah, get yourself Apple TV mount and some mollies.
Well, only if you got the drywall there. If you don't have the drywall, you don't need a molly. You could just drill right into the stud there. Maybe you have a wooden wall or a concrete wall, in which case you'd want to get a concrete drill bit, of course. Maybe a diamond carbide drill bit there and a very high-speed drill, I would suggest.
And you could also learn how to do all these kind of
I don't do
of
any
work.
Of that stuff, by the
but
way.
But if you ever. Wanted to learn, one way you could
Lisa
was through
is the
a
handyman.
Magazine.
What magazine? Texture?
Well, any magazine.
Any magazine.
Any handy magazine.
Any magazine.
You don't subscribe to handy magazines. But you
I don't subscribe to any magazines. I just get Texture. By the way, magazine companies love it.
They're
love
a sponsor,
it.
By the way. We should say
oh,
that.
Oh, we're doing an ad right now, yes. We should say, for Texture, which is, by the way, and did I say by the way enough? By the way, if you are saying, oh my gosh, Christmas just a day or two away, or Hanukkah, this last day of Hanukkah, what am I going to do for that last gift? You can get this right now, texture.com/twit. It is a great gift for anybody with an iPad, iPhone, Android device too. It not yet web, although I hear the web interface might be coming. But really, if you've got a mobile device, 200 plus magazines, it's like Netflix for magazines, at a flat rate. It eliminates so many of the real problems with magazines. For instance, all that clutter, the coffee table weighed down with tons of glossy, colorful paper magazines. And the guilt, I don't know about you, but I actually stopped reading The New Yorker because I was so far behind. And I thought, I have to read the old issue before I start the new issue, which meant I never got to any issue. Now I subscribe to The New Yorker through Texture. $9.99, and that's a special price just for you. But you can try it free for a week. Texture now has a widget. I'm going to add a widget. Let's go to edit. And look, I have a Texture widget now, which means I could see my magazines. This is so awesome. I could see my magazines right here in my widget. So I could jump right to the article about boys to men. Texture is awesome. And when I say 200 magazines... It's actually a little more than 200 magazines. It's the best magazines. It is cooking magazines like Bon Appetit and Real Simple. It is, you know, I don't read fashion magazines, but every once in a while I want to look at Vogue. Mm-hmm. Teen Vogue's in there, too. Some great political writing. Believe it or not, Teen Vogue these days.
Everybody's talking about the New Yorker story, the New Yorker short story, Cat Person.
Cat Person. Huge.
And you can read it on texture.
You can read it on texture. Mm-hmm. That was an interesting story.
It's a great story.
I know. I love it. Isn't that funny that who would think a New Yorker fiction piece would become suddenly something to see? Well, one of the reasons people know about these things is the highlights section of texture. So you don't even have to know about, like, I've never read Red Book, but there's an article in Red Book about navigating a world of bullies that would be great to send to my daughter, right? The World According to Goldblum and GQ magazine. Oh, I'm very interested in cameras. The Nikon D850 review in Shutterbug. How to be a franchisor in entrepreneur. These are stories just from you. There's a holiday gift guide because, of course, it's the holidays. So these are the texture editors, the curation staff, pulling together stuff from magazines you may not even think about. Really, Daily News, top 10 reads. How to cook buttermilk pancakes. From Better Homes and Gardens. Now, by the way, that's not one of my favorites, but did you see I could just add that to my favorites? It would automatically download. You get every page that's in the newsstand, including, by the way, the ads, which I kind of like. I don't want to miss those. You can zoom in. So if you want to, and that's one of the reasons it's great for photography, because unlike a magazine where the printer has to screen it and reduce the quality of the photograph, you get all the details in the photography. I am just so happy with texture. And, you know, I'm about to get on an airplane on Thursday. I've got a really long red-eye flight, overnight flight. And one of the first things I do before a long flight is load up with entertainment and, of course, texture. 2017's top 10 member favorites. The favorite magazine posts from Texture. I got to tell you, Texture is awesome. TEXTURE.com/twit. Start your free Texture trial. And if you decide to continue, we've got a special deal. As I mentioned, $9.99 a month. That's 30% off their listed price. And there are great gift options. Great gift options for the holiday season. Texture for a last minute gift. Fantastic. Texture.com/twit. Start your free trial today. Haven't you always wanted to tour Faith Hill and Tim McGraw's home in the Bahamas?
Mm-hmm.
God knows I have. Here we go. Fantasy Island. Oh, wow. Look at that. See how much prettier it is on your iPad? It's easy to read, too, because you can make the text bigger. You know, if there's any fine print, pictures can be bigger. I just think this is a much better experience.
You don't have to feel guilty about all the paper, the mess, crowding in there.
This is really cool. It doesn't look like Faith or Ted, but maybe there's a really Tim. It was Ted. Shh. Faith doesn't want me to tell. Look at that. You can zoom right in and you can see what's that on their dresser. What are they reading?
Look at their accent pillows.
Look at those pillows. Gorgeous. See?
Mm-hmm.
See? Look at that. You can zoom in and see the book titles. That's awesome. Texture.com/twit. You know what? I want that. That is an outdoor bathtub.
That is a nice bathtub.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. The Bahamas. Gorgeous. In paradise, you live in ways you can't in civilization.
CR1 in our chat room says, sadly, Cat Person is not about pet care. And that is true.
It isn't. It's not. It's about a shop girl and cats and a person.
Mm-hmm. Well,
she's not a shop girl. She works behind the counter at a film, at a movie.
Yeah.
But it's like a shop girl. She's behind a counter. She's
relationships
selling.
And communication.
And Twizzlers.
And a lot of people are saying that it's, you know, I'm too old for that. I started dating before there was text messaging. And it's like, it's not just about technology. It's about relationships in general, I think.
About the modern world.
It's about.
And relationships.
Yeah. All right.
But
now,
not cat care.
No. Now we have some questions and hopefully some answers.
HomePod. Yes.
Angela
writes.
You're
not imagining it.
I've got a question about the Do Not Disturb feature. Just wondering if you think I've said it wrong or something. I'm a paraplegic, so answering the phone while I'm driving is definitely out of the question, but I notice I still get alerts, even though it's set to automatic. What's up with that? P.S. Thanks to the viewer that mentioned how to ask Siri something, even when it is set to typing. So I am not sure. I have had similar problems with Do Not Disturb. I'm sure you're not doing it wrong. But there might be some emergency alerts that you have set. Like if you have your Do Not Disturb set so that some people can get through no matter what, that might be why you're getting the alerts. You might, if it's a timer or an alarm, those will still go through Do Not Disturb. You might be getting calls. You might have your Do Not Disturb set so that if someone calls and then calls right back again 3 minutes later.
Yeah, there's two ways somebody could get through your Do Not Disturb. In a text message, if they put the word, if they get, you know, you text them and they put the word urgent in there, they'll go through and they'll go through for the rest of the ride. And similarly, if somebody calls and they call twice, but you could turn both of those features off. And if you really don't want any messages, you can make, you know, Do Not Disturb be aggressive, which you probably want. You know, you can have it let no one through, let no calls through, no matter what. Turn off, I turn off repeated calls so I don't get, nobody can get through to me. Allow calls from, make sure it's no one. Now, you're saying you're getting alerts. I don't see the same kind of features for alerts, but I definitely auto reply to, you know, favorites with, I'm driving. And I find this to be great. I don't, so she's getting like the bloop, you've got a text.
That's what it sounds like. Hmm. I would just reset it, make sure, go through and reset it, and then.
And you might want to try the two different ways, you know, the three different ways of doing it. You don't want manually. That means you have to turn it on when you get in the car. Either automatically or when connected to Bluetooth. Automatically is based on motion. And we talked about this last week. When connected to Bluetooth means as soon as you pair it to your car's Bluetooth, which should happen automatically, you can't do it. You have to figure out which one's best for you. If you, for instance, ride a commuter train or bus, you might not want automatically. You might want to just do Bluetooth. I don't know. I love this feature. I also have it scheduled from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m., so nobody will bother me.
Mm-hmm. You don't get the alerts.
Maybe you have it. This is another one that could be turning off silence. Turn silence to always as opposed to when iPhone is locked, because your iPhone may be unlocking when you get in the car. So you might want to say always silence. That's another setting. There are a lot of settings in here, and it just might be that one of them is allowing text through unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, just it. She has it set to automatically. I'd say set it to the other ones. Try it again. I mean, there are so many bugs in iOS 11. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't.
I have kind of the opposite problem. My Apple Watch seems to automatically go into Do Not Disturb. In fact, I should just check. It's in Do Not Disturb right now.
Right now, and you don't have that set? You didn't turn Do Not Disturb on just now when you were?
No.
Huh. And did you turn it on and then forget to turn it off?
I don't know.
Hmm. Hmm.
I don't know.
Curious.
You know, when I was at Star Wars, watching Star Wars, I put in theater mode, which, of course, you definitely want to do in the theater. And then I turned it off when the movie was over, but it went back into theater mode at another point. So I think it's kind of, I don't know, it's a little flaky, but... you know what? Maybe you turn it on because I turned it on the phone just now. I don't know. Anyway, I just noticed it's, and I haven't really figured it out, but every once in a while I notice, oh, it's in Do Not Disturb mode. Because I like it when my watch at least taps me. Because that makes me feel like there's a little person living on my wrist.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I use Kevin Rose's meditation app.
Oak.
And I wish it would automatically silence. Like, I wish it would automatically turn on. Because I get, like, that when Burke sent me the long string of text messages about the HomePod.
As soon as you launch Oak, it should silence everything.
It should.
Yeah. I think they say, for best results, turn on airplane mode and Do Not Disturb while you're meditating. Mm-hmm. So my suggestion to you. They probably can't do it. You know, I bet you an app in the Apple world, app can't do it automatically.
Yeah. All right, the next question is from the choir guy. It came on Twitter. He said, we are an all-Apple household, but we exclusively use Google Photos, and I've yet to find an elegant solution for viewing photos from Google Photos on the Apple TV. Know of any apps to do this? Now, this was an interesting question to me, because, yes, there is an app that will do that. There's an app for everything. But I couldn't understand why he didn't want to just AirPlay. Or screen mirror.
No, but maybe he wants, and that's a good point. He could do it, so you would do it from your iPad or your iPhone and AirPlay it to your Apple TV.
Right, so let's take a look. Let me screen mirror.
But maybe he wants, I don't know, the screensaver to be Google Photos.
Maybe. So I'm mirroring now.
I don't know if that's an option. actually.
And let's
hold it a little higher.
But yeah. So I'm screen mirroring, and now I want to go to Google Photos, and let's take a look.
Oh yeah,
at
look.
Apple TV.
Can you do a slideshow though?
Let's see. Look.
I see Google on the Apple TV. There it is. So, that's a great picture. Thank you for sharing that again.
That's an excellent picture.
I was so sad that day.
I just
want everybody to know.
That was yawning.
It's okay to be depressed. It really is. Sadness is, don't hide your sadness. Just let Megan see it and she'll take a picture of it and share it on the internet.
A little scrubby from my dog. Aww. That's what I'm trying to scrubby.
Aww.
So how would I do a slideshow regularly?
I don't know if you can.
But if you were going to, let's see, if I was going to play an album, isn't that how you do a slideshow?
Because that's probably what he wants, right?
Yeah. If I just press play? Yeah, I guess I would just have to. Can you show the Apple TV? It looks fine to me.
You know, he may have written this before, because this feature came out earlier this year.
Well, okay, so let's take a look at the app that I found that's $2.99 on the Apple TV. App, what was it called?
They just put AirPlay into Google Photos. He may not know that.
So you don't have to do anything to press. There's no AirPlay feature within the Google Photos app. You just screen mirror, right? Because I couldn't find a place to AirPlay. But let me take a look at the app that was called, what was that called? So Easy Photo Pro is the app that I found, and you just connect it to, you can connect it to your Flickr or your Google Photos.
Oh, that's nice. And so that will.
I don't want that.
You could launch that app. That's a little easier, frankly, than doing it from the phone or iPad and then AirPlaying it.
So it's authenticating my account. I had to do the whole thing where you go to a different device, and there are my Google Photos.
Nice.
And I can look at my albums.
See, I think that's great.
Oops.
It has a slideshow built in, so that's
it
nice.
It does.
Yeah.
Have the slideshow.
Oh, it's 50px as well.
Oops.
And Flickr, it looked
What's
like.
What's 50px?
500px, rather. That's a very great site for, you may also use that. So in other words, that's not just Google Photos. It's Flickr, Google Photos, and Flickr 500px.
And where did you see the slideshow feature?
In the settings, it said slideshow.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. So just to open a photo and see if it will go into... What's that lower right-hand button there? See that? Slideshow. Yeah.
Slideshow enabled.
Slideshow. Let's have a slideshow of a dog and then another dog.
Well, you can do
and
search.
And another dog.
That's not a dog.
That's not a dog, but that is a dog. That's a dandelion.
That's not a dog.
It's kind of simple slideshow.
You can do search here, too. So if nice. I wanted to... The Apple TV remote leaves something to be desired.
Yes, it does.
So if I wanted to search for, like...
Dogs.
Or Christmas.
Christmas. Let's get all the Christmas photos ever.
Christmas.
It doesn't respond to Hillary Clinton's voice.
So there are all of
that's cool.
Photos. So from
that looks like Halloween. Oh, that was your Christmas
that
card.
Was, yeah, I think it says Mary. I don't know why they thought it was. It was our Christmas. It's the Christmas tree that he's dressed up like a Christmas tree. So it uses the machine learning and notices all these.
Was that your Christmas card? Of course it is. I have your Christmas card.
No, that's our Christmas card was Stranger Things. This was a prototype. It says Mary Forced Photo under there. That was one idea I had. But it didn't seem forced enough. So that'll be the next year. So these are taken around Christmas, or they have Christmas-like.
I love it. It's probably by date.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice feature.
Some melted butter.
Melted butter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's so Christmassy.
It was taken on Christmas Eve. That's why.
Aww.
So that is one app.
You do the traditional Belgian butter melting for Christmas Eve?
I don't cook at all that. Someone else was cooking. I was taking the photos, clearly.
Nice.
But, yeah, so I would just AirPlay it. I guess that $2.99 app has some features.
I think that's worth it. But you can do both.
Yeah, and either. Then we... someone responded to that tweet and said, just get yourself a Chromecast and everything will be perfect. And then,
but that's a second device. You know, you have Apple TV and now you have Chromecast. Mm-hmm. Although I have to say, for $40 or whatever Chromecast is, it's a great device to have as well. Mm-hmm. Look, we're getting a slideshow.
Oh, that's Marco and my friend Dina. Aww. She's the one making the butter.
Oh, Dina comes over and makes butter.
No, that was her house.
Oh.
It's a long time those photos stay on there. I bet you could change it in the settings, though.
Yeah, there are slideshow settings.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, any more questions for the crack team at iPad today, iOS today?
I do have a question, and I'm hoping you have the answer to this one. John writes, is there an iOS app out there that breaks down your health data? I have several items favorited in the health app, but I don't know what's good or bad. Would it be nice if there was something that would take all of the information and guide me with what I need to cut back on or what I need to add? I don't know the answer to this question.
That's an interesting... we talked about Lose It last time. Mm-hmm.
I don't think there is anything specific that, how would it know from the health app what you need to cut back on? I think that is required.
No, I mean, this, so one of the, Lose It lets you log stuff as you do it, either eat or exercise, and then sends that to the health app. But Lose It will also let you keep track of cholesterol, sodium, other, you know, nutrients that you don't maybe want to have in your diet. He's saying, oh, from the health app, it should say, you know, you need more sleep, for instance, or...
Right. So here's what the health app looks like on my phone. I have, this is how many carbohydrates, I guess.
People are reluctant to do health recommendations in apps because then you're getting into Federal Drug Administration territory.
Yeah. So I think this is like it's recorded this by the few days that I used Lose It or something. That's the problem. Like, you have to regularly record, and I
once you get in the habit, it's okay. But you got to get that habit. You could just put it in your bullet journal. That would make you.
Yeah, bullet journal. That's a good way. But that's not going to crunch that data either and tell you anything.
This is exactly what you would like the Apple Health app to do, but it is in fact something it's not going to do. Because they don't want to get in the health recommendation area. iMore has a good guide to the health app, and of course, as always, with iMore. But I don't think that they really talk about, and I don't think the health app does it, you know, getting recommendations. I think the reason, I'm going to guess that the reason is the FDA would say, no, that's something a doctor needs to do. A recommendation is... You know, that's risky because you don't want to, you know, say, hey, you should run more if that's not an appropriate thing to do because of other factors, right? So I'm suspecting that's something that Apple is not going to build in without FDA approval anyway.
Yeah. If you have a suggestion for anything that, I mean, and what I'm hearing is that you want it to bug you about stuff. So an app that would bug you and maybe make recommendations
well,
that may or may not.
Apple's not unwilling to bug you. You know, I mean, I'm serious. Like
breathe, stand up. But those things are pretty, it's not going to tell you to eat more fiber or, go running.
I am going to make a recommendation, though. The Motive Ring.
Yes, and that is
our sponsor for this section.
And that's pretty simple, but it is really...
It will bug you for movement. And better sleep habits.
I know. What we should compete against.
I'm wearing my Motive Ring right now. Megan's wearing her rose gold version. I'm wearing the black version. It's really cool what they could put in a little device like this. This is a ring that has motion tracking in it, so you can monitor performance like steps and calories and distance. It also tracks your body when you're not active, so it can monitor your sleep. And it does your heart rate as well. So one of the things I love about this, I don't want to really wear my Apple Watch to bed at night, and battery life probably isn't sufficient, but I do wear my Motive Ring to bed. It's easy, it's comfortable, and it will tell you a lot more about your sleep habits. That is really, really valuable. Motive is a fitness device you won't mind wearing all the time. 3-day battery means you can. It has a Bluetooth LE connection to your phone, so it syncs. Doesn't really impact battery life on your phone at all. It syncs, you know, periodically with your phone, And unlike a bulky wristband, this thing is light, weighs less than a penny. It's made out of titanium, and it's also waterproof. So you, I wear it in the shower, or you can wear it when you swim, and it's actually good down to, what is it, 5 atmospheres. That's a lot. That's 100 feet or something. So this really is a fantastic way to kind of, without any effort, track your fitness. So Thursday, we took a long walk. I had 15,000 steps. We went 7 miles. You can see this is the day. So one of the things that we were talking about is how do you know when you're exercising? Well, you'll see based on heart rate, little peaks and valleys, and you know, based on time, oh yeah, this is when I was taking my walk. And you can actually say what the activity was. You can assign it to an activity, and they have a much longer list of activities than Apple does, because it's not trying to sense the activity, right? It's just saying, I sensed elevated heart rate, and your intensity was maxed out here. You could actually say, no, you know what? This was not a maxed out boxing training, but it was. I pushed hard, and then you can save it then to record, you know, your boxing training or your aerobics or your yoga or whatever. You could see your heart rate. Look at this very accurately. Boxing earned me 10 active minutes. And, you know, so this is a really great way to keep track. See, and now it added it. You boxed for 10 minutes, which I didn't, obviously. Now let's look at my sleep. So it also knows your this is for Thursday, but you could also see your sleep trend. Oh. What I recommend, so you want to charge it every 3 days, but what I actually do now is when I get up in the morning, I let it monitor my sleep. I get up in the morning and I charge it, and it's very easy to charge it. There's a little USB dongle. I have one in my closet plugged into the wall, you know, just plugged into a USB charger. Or you can have it plugged into your computer, and it just sits on there, and it charges up. There it is, just like that. It charges up very, very quickly. So what I do is, instead of waiting till it dies down, and it will give you an alert saying you got to charge it, you're down to 10% or whatever. What I do is every day when I'm getting ready, I'm brushing my teeth, I charge it a little bit, just for a little bit, and that's enough to keep it fully charged. Beautifully made out of titanium. And what it does is it helps you hit your goal for activity. American Heart Association says adults need a minimum of 150 minutes of activity, of moderate intensity aerobic activity, to maintain good health. This is exactly the kind of unobtrusive tracker you need to keep an eye on that. By the way, you can also find out what your resting heart rate is, right? Best time to know what your resting heart rate is while you're asleep, while you're literally resting. And so this will do that as well. Really love the Motive, MOTIV. Ring, and you can get it right now at MyMotiv, MyMotiv.com. In fact, if you use a promo code iOS today, you get $20 off your first order. This is, I've worn all the bands, and I still wear the Apple Watch, but for complete monitoring, unobtrusively, all the time, comfortably, there's nothing better. This is so cool. MyMotiv.com, MyMotiv.com. And enter iOS today at checkout for $20 off your first order. We thank Motive so much for their support. Motive. And isn't that nice? I think if I feel like you could wear it, I have a wedding ring on my left hand, so I wear it on my. You can wear it anywhere. They even send you a sizer when you order it, so mm-hmm. you can get it sized for whatever finger. If you're like Jason, you could wear it on your thumb. Mm-hmm. You could have a pinky ring. I just wear it like on the opposite finger for my wedding ring.
Me too. Just,
yeah. It's nice.
Do you ever wear it with the little heart monitor light out?
Yes, I do. And tell me about that.
I don't know. I just saw them on the video wearing it out.
See, watch, look, on mine.
Oh, why is yours?
You can see my heart beating.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, because you can turn it to sync it, too, I think. There's some fancy.
Yeah, it syncs automatically, though. But there is a thing where you could turn it to sync it.
Yeah.
If you want to manually sync it. But I just let it sync whenever it feels like it. That way it doesn't... It's not obtrusive on my phone. Yeah, I guess if you turn it and you can check your heart rate. So if you're a runner and you want to see what your heart rate is or whatever, you can do that. You know, I never do that, but that's a good point.
All right, we are wearing hats. What is my hat? My hat says something on it. I didn't even see that. What is it?
Punta Arenas, Chile. That is one of the southernmost parts of South America. In fact, one of the southernmost parts in the world. Right down. That's where you would go, Punta Arenas, if you wanted to go to Antarctica.
Oh.
Yeah.
And did you get this hat there?
I did. I guess. I could have got it here, but I don't know why I would say Punta Arenas on it.
Good point. Okay.
Why are we wearing funny hats?
We're wearing hats because we're going to tell you.
Because I'm wearing my Elma Fudd hat.
Favorite app of the week.
Yes.
And my app, my hat is appropriate because I'm going next week for the holidays to Bozeman, Montana, where it's very cold and where I will be away from my yoga studio.
Uh-oh.
But not if I have an app
called
Yoga Studio.
I just started
using this app, and there's a free trial, and then I think it's like $2.
Give this to Abby. She loves yoga.
I love this.
If you can't get to your class, this is great.
$2 a month. $5 a quarter. $20 a year. $20.
That's nothing
for a year.
That's one class.
And yeah, exactly. It is one class. But this one, it's organized by level, time, or the focus. So like say you want to be flexible or you want to relax.
I need to do this. I need to stretch more.
There's 25 hours of classes, and it features yoga great Rodney Yee, who I've heard about. I guess he is great. I use it on the Apple TV mostly, so that, you know, I just
turn
it on.
Oh, what a good idea.
And
you're so smart.
But since I'm going to Montana, I'm going to bring it along with me.
Does it have an Apple TV app, or are you just live?
It has an Apple TV.
It has an Apple TV app.
Nice. We can take a look at that. Let me stop screening.
I think this is a huge thing for fitness, is these fitness apps on your Apple TV.
Because you used to
watch Jane Fonda work out. Now you can have just customized fitness, you know, classes on your TV. I was doing that with Pilates for a while. Pilates Anytime.
Let's see. Recent purchases. Yoga Studio.
It's got a nice lotus icon.
So what I like is you can see what you've done lately, and you can also create your own yoga class. So you could...
you can make a little chaturanga for yourself.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, so you can... Do let's try yoga for runners. That's
I've nice.
Been doing. And
yeah.
So you can do 20 minutes, 5 minutes, and beginner, intermediate, and they don't have pro. But this, what I
you
also
know, if
like,
you can do all of those, you're good enough.
Yeah.
Just stop now.
And she is very
pro.
Soothing.
Is doing all of that on the edge of a cliff. That's the only
yes.
difference.
She is very soothing, and sometimes they pause the video, so it's like not her. You know, they just fake it a little bit. So it does look, she does look
and
a little bit like a robot.
Stretch back and relax down between.
Yes.
See, that's a move I'm never going to be able to do.
Don't
right
say
there.
That. You can't do it right now. If you can take a look at my iPad, I can create a schedule for myself. So I could say, you know, I am going to, oh yeah, I add my actual calendar on there, and then it puts stuff in my calendar, and then I can say what classes I'm going to do, which day. I'm going to do Rodney Yee. I'm going to learn how to do
see,
that.
See, I would take it from a man, because I think one of the reasons you don't see a lot of guys in yoga, and you don't, is there's yoga for women and then there's yoga for men. Like, women can put their head between their knees.
Mm-hmm.
Men can't do that.
Yes, they can.
No, we're not made that way. So I think Rodney could be, if I could see Rodney do it, oh my God, then I, oh Lord.
Yeah.
Then I would at least know a man could do it. That would be helpful. Like, he gives me a good example of what could
do
be
that.
Done.
Wow. So, you know, we're into the quantified self. So you can see, like, last played, how many times you've
good.
Played
I'm gonna
it.
I'm going to do this. Yeah, 20 bucks.
Yoga Studio. Yeah. Free trial. Nice. See if you like it. And I've tried a lot of the Apple TV yoga apps, and some of them are not good at all. And this one is really great. She's still going over there.
Yeah, and see, I dress like Rodney when I go to yoga class. I don't dress like her. I don't have my Lululemon yoga pants.
You could wear whatever you want because you're in your own house.
Exactly.
You can, yeah.
That's exactly. I'm embarrassed when I wear my gym shorts to yoga class.
Wear whatever you want.
This
it's
way you can do
you.
It in your own home, mm-hmm. in the privacy
see how they
of your own
that
home.
Video? She's not. That's paused.
Yeah, so you'll stay in that position. Yeah. For a while.
You can have different music, different teachers.
And if you want to turn your thermostat in the house up to 110 degrees, you
yes,
go right ahead.
You can. Yeah. Wear whatever. Wear blue jeans. Wear nothing at all. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm. Have a beer while you do your yoga.
Yeah, exactly.
No judgment.
No, that robot lady does not judge at all.
No judgment from the robot.
I don't think she's really a robot. I think she's
she's a real person. That's video. Yeah.
Yeah.
She just looks too perfect to be human.
That's exactly how I look.
When you do your yoga?
In my mind. Wow. Yoga Studio.
I look like this. wobble, wobble, wobble. All right. Last week I showed you the most mindless paperclips. That you couldn't get more mindless than that app. Now I've got the exact opposite, an app that's going to require a lot of energy, a lot of attention. You're going to have to watch videos. You're going to have to train. This is a serious app. But once you kind of start to get it and start to use it, you'll say, I don't know how I lived without it. And I learned about this from Merlin Mann, productivity guru and our good friend. And he was talking about it on another good friend, Renee Ritchie's podcast, Vector. This is called Drafts. And when you look at it, you're going to say, well, why would I need that? Why would I get it? But I could tell you, once you start to customize it and use it, you will put Drafts in your dock on your iPad or your iPhone. It is iOS $4.99. It's not free. It's $5, but that's all. And Drafts, which comes from Agile Tortoise, they're the developer, is basically one thing. It's a better way to enter text. And you might say, well, what do you mean? Because if I'm using my calendar, I can enter text there. If I'm using my email, I can enter text there. Messages, Notepad, I have plenty of ways to enter text. The idea is you start in Drafts, and they have lots of easy ways then to put, for instance, this morning, did you get a text from me?
I did.
You did. Mm-hmm. I did it in Drafts and then sent it out. Tweets, same thing. You know what? Nowadays on Twitter, you get 280 characters, but Twitter doesn't tell you how many characters you've used. You can use Drafts to compose that tweet. It will tell you exactly how many characters and words you've used. And then with a simple touch of the finger, tweet it. So it's an easier way to create textual content, email, text messages, notes for your bullet journal. If you wanted to move bullet journal to a digital platform, this would be the way you would do it. And let me just show you a little bit. And I have to say, initially, it is very kind of confusing and like, what do I need this for? Let me just show you my screen. So I'm going to launch Drafts. I keep it in my dock because I want it always available. By the way, the number 2 is how many items are in my inbox. You could turn that off or on. That might be something you'd want to know. Remember when you're talking about getting things done, the idea is a trusted place to just dump everything? Mm-hmm. This is the dumping program. When you launch it, it launches right into a text editor, blinking cursor. You'd start typing right away.
Are there bullets there too? Are those what those circles
are? There are all kinds of things. You have markup. So you have complete control of this. Yeah, you could have a bullet journal, but it's even more than that. For one thing, and by the way, I added this to my toolbar. It has, it supports dictation. So I can enter text. In fact, this is my preferred way to do it, using Siri's dictation, and then insert that into a draft. Now, once you have something in a draft, if you swipe in a little bit from the left, there are many things you can do. Copy to clipboard, create an email or a message, search on Google. It has all the share capabilities. Create a reminder, create an event. You can add more too. So I have Twitter and post to Google, but I've added message. That's how I sent you a message. You can have additional services. It supports all the cloud services. You can even create a monthly journal. So this is what you would do for bullet journaling. You'd on Dropbox or Google Drive or iCloud, you'd have a monthly journal. And then it could save it out to the monthly journal. It supports a text editing system called Markdown. You're going to want to learn a little bit about Markdown if you want to use this. But for instance, here's a simple thing. It's very hard to put a link embedded into an email that actually is a linked bit of text. You can do that very easily using Markdown and then send that to your email. So it's like a better way to enter email. But I am just scratching the surface. It has an Apple Watch app that has a complication. Notice, I don't know if you could see it, but I have a tiny little complication in the upper right. If I tap that, it goes right into Apple Watch dictation. So this is, frankly, the most useful part of this for me, is the ability, whenever I hear something I want to remember, for instance, a great quote, I will dictate it on my Apple Watch, press done, and that's that. It's now in, or it will be in a moment, in my drafts on my iPhone, my iPad, and my Apple Watch, so I can then do something with it. For instance, if you have a quotes journal, you can automatically send it to quotes in my quotes journal. Let's say you want to make a calendar entry. Here I've made a calendar entry for Fantastical. Head to town to buy fish on December 30th. Put that in my personal. Swipe this over. Fantastical is one of many apps that it supported, so I could put that event in Fantastical. I added this This is highly customizable. And you know, Fantastical takes the text, parses it, turns it into an entry automatically, and then I can add it to Fantastical just that easily. And then it goes back. And by the way, I've also set it up that once it does something, it could move this into archives. But this is where it really gets wild, okay? It gets really wild.
Hold on to your begonias.
If you use our sponsor, Smile on My Mac's Text Expander, which I know you do.
I do.
It supports Text Expander snippets automatically. So you don't have to use the Text Expander keyboard. You could just use your Text Expander shortcuts, which means if you think about it for your bullet journal, that might save you a lot of time. These are all complicated settings. I'll show you the accounts. It supports Dropbox, Evernote, Google, Twitter, Path. I don't know why Path, Box, and OneDrive. This actually would be a really good use for Evernote, a better way to enter notes into Evernote. You have a very powerful markdown processor. You could choose what you want to use. You can have it, of course, it uses the iCloud Write to Documents feature, so it syncs automatically with iCloud. But this is where it really gets amazing. Let me get out of the settings, go back into the keyboard. The keyboard is extremely powerful. You can add additional, I don't know if you noticed, let me exit again and show you on the keyboard. It has a function row. You can add new functions. For instance, I could turn this into a to-do. I added a little to-do function that'll put a little to-do bullet there. You could have all of your bullet list bullets on this right here on the keyboard on the kind of the function bar. But you can also make scripts and templates. You can add amazing actions. So this can get very complicated. You could have a standard text message that you send out that is already pre-written, that is just a simple action that you could add to. You could, I'll show you, because there is this, and I've never seen this in an iOS app, but there are external actions you can add and install, and there are many, many of them written by third parties and so forth. So if, for instance, as I do, I use microblog, you can use this for a microblogging app that will automatically send it to your microblog, which is this. I mean, this is an incredible tool once you start, but you have to spend some time with it, and you have to spend some time customizing it. If you use OmniFocus as your to-do list, this is a great way to capture all your to-dos and then process them quickly into OmniFocus. These are the most popular additional actions. Tweetbot, Todoist, Find and Replace, DevonThink. This is a great compliment to DevonThink. Save to Dropbox as. Search in 1Password. You search in LastPass. So you can enter a website and then search for your password for it. And by the way, that's just the first page. There are 34 pages of addable tasks.
This is so amazing.
This is a weird program because it is not immediately obvious why you need it. You say, I don't need a text editing program. But the idea is it's a quick way to get stuff out of your head through your watch, through your iPhone, through your iPad. You can actually just add them up. That's why I have the little button on the icon to say you've got three items in your inbox. You're going to want to process these. And you want to process them, you know, sending them to your calendar, to-do list, whatever you need to do. Here's a quote, for instance. So maybe I want to save this to my quote journal or whatever. And you can create this is all completely customizable. You can create as many new actions as you want. It works with many, many apps, and there are additional actions written for pretty much any app that you might want to use this with. So if I wanted to text you this, for instance, I've created a text message. I'm in Messages. I could type your name and then just press send, and I'm done. I don't have to even launch Messages. So that it's hard to understand, especially when you first look at it. It's like, well, okay, I got text. But think of it this way, as a fast and easy way to enter text, either through the keyboard or dictation or even on your watch, a fast and easy way to enter text, save it up. So having it on your watch, for instance, is great because I just, all through the day, you know, one of the problems...
In the shower.
One of the problems you have with to-do lists is you never think of a thing to do at a time when you can actually make a note of it, or you're driving in the car, you tap this thing, you say, remind me to buy butter and eggs. You have a grocery list action. You pile these up in your inbox. when you get home, you launch it on your phone or your iPad, and then you can send those to your grocery list. I have a grocery list that I automatically email out so that Lisa and I have our same list together. I just go on and on. The problem is it's very personalized. Mm-hmm. So what I want to do is kind of, A, tell you about this, well worth $4.99, but understand you're going to want to watch. They have 15 different screencasts with ways to use it. You're going to at least want to watch those and then start to think about how you can incorporate it into your workflow. But it becomes very rewarding once you do, because it's a very quick way to jot down notes and process them. I know you use the bullet journal. Mm-hmm. I know you like to handwrite it. And, you know, there is a real value to handwriting stuff. But for people who wanted to do perhaps a journaling or even a bullet journal or something specific like that, this is a great way to get that text out of your head into something. And then at the end of the day, or even, you know, when you've got a moment, process it all and get it out of here into where it belongs.
Or even like you say, you have something that you want to say and you're like, oh, I'm going to tweet this. But maybe once you get it down, it's really three paragraphs long.
Right.
And so you want to put it in your blog instead, right, or you want to put it on Facebook instead.
Or you can select parts and tweet parts.
Yeah.
You could do a tweet storm. Yes, exactly. Yeah, you're thinking. And that's what I'm hoping people will do, is say, oh, I could use that for emails, messages, to-do lists, recipes, journaling. I think I might want to use this for journaling. People sometimes carry around a notebook and just jot down ideas. That's mm-hmm. what this is. And if you have an Apple Watch and an iPhone and iPad, now the one thing missing from this, and I wish they had, is a desktop version.
Oh.
It would be kind of cool to have a desktop version. But I think this really comes from the idea that if you're using an iPad, you're probably using that as your main computer. Mm-hmm. It really is great if you have an iPad, iPhone, and an Apple Watch. They'll all have the same snippets that you dictate into it. So you have any way to enter it that way, and you could process it on either of the iPad or the iPhone.
And you mentioned at the beginning the word count because of Twitter, but if you're a writer too, like that's just right there in the corner of the screen.
Yeah, you see that? Yeah. You downloaded it already.
Oh, yeah. I already texted you through it. Was it really $4.99, or was that, did you do that? Because I thought it was free, and then maybe there was just a tip jar, but you're probably right.
There is a tip jar, and it's $4.99.
Okay. It's worth $4.99. That's why I was so excited, I just downloaded it.
And the funny thing is, you need somebody, this is why the Vector podcast was great, because when Merlin explained, mm-hmm. I went, oh, I get it. I don't know if people will really get it. Just look, if you looked at it in the App Store and said, that's $5 to enter mm-hmm. text, I already can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But what it's really about is getting everything out of your head into something that you can then later process it with. That's, in a nutshell, what it does. And it's up to you to figure out how it fits into your life.
It looks like you can show it'll show you where you...
Oh, I didn't even show you that.
So
yeah, you can see, you literally get a map of it, the date you did it. The actions you did with it, how many versions you've saved. I mean, it's whoever wrote this at Agile Turtle, obviously this is this fourth version of it, has really been thinking about this, maybe talking to people like Merlin Mann, and they've added a lot of really great kind of hidden features that are extremely powerful. For instance, the fact that, you know, when you launch a new one, you're ready to type immediately. And you just swipe in from the left for actions, swipe in from the right, vice versa, swipe in to the left. Anyway, you know what I mean. On the left side, you get all of your in stuff. But I have it set up, by the way, in the settings that as soon as I take an action on something, it archives it. By default, after action success, you can either do nothing, archive, or trash it. Trash doesn't delete anything. You can manually delete it. But it's so, these, in a way, that's processing. You can put... you know, I can, when I make a custom action, I can have a custom icon on it, custom colors. You know, I could have text Megan, and I could have a little wristwatch because it's the one I send you every Monday that I'm going to be late. Things like that.
Right.
Just boom. It's fantastic. But it takes a little effort on your part. Drafts.
Mike in the chat room says making to-do lists means you're taking more time than you are actually doing the things. I disagree with that. And that's what Bill Atkinson of Getting Things Done says, like, ideas are for
Dave Allen. But
Dave
close,
Allen.
Yeah.
At the Atkins diet. Dave Allen. Who's Bill Atkins? Oh, the card.
Yeah,
Bill,
photo card.
Sorry.
By the way, want to thank Bill. We're going to have him back on because we just sent out our Christmas cards. Yeah. Remember, we used to be everybody would have to sign every mm-hmm. card? What a pain.
Yeah, not
we sent out hundreds of cards every year.
Mm-hmm.
I sent them out. I just have used photo card. Boy, that was a great thing. Thank you, Bill. And Bill's great. He goes through and he he checks every address.
And yeah. Sorry, really Bill. Sweet. So Dave Allen says ideas are not for holding on to. They're for acting. And if you can get them out of your brain and onto something like this, then you don't have to keep perseverating over them. So
I kind of agree with Reverb Mike that if to-do lists take a lot of time to make, then that's like, oh, yeah, you're doing that instead of actually doing something. This is the whole idea of this is quick. Get it out of your head. Get it into your to-do list so you don't spend a lot of time processing, but you do have it all recorded. And that's the key. Let's get this recorded and put somewhere that we can act on it. I really love this. You know, all a to-do list really is, this is also from Dave Allen, is a commitment. We make commitments all the time, either to ourselves or others, about something we're going to do. I'm going to buy a loaf of bread. Or I'll tell you, I'm going to get your car washed. So all a to-do list really is keeping track of the commitments you make so that you can keep them.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Mm-hmm. This is a very easy way because you just remind me, I got to get milk. I got to wash Megan's car, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you do.
And it's right there. I made it a complication on my Apple Watch so that I can, anytime I need to, remind me to wash Megan's car. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. And that is now in my inbox. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And if I go here, it's right here. It said wash Megan's par, but I know. Well, but that's the point, right? Dictation is not great. This has all sorts of very good editing tools, by the way, including a button that says select that word and fix it. So this is a really nice thing, but you're going to have to spend some time customizing it and learning it and figuring out how it integrates. Drafts, DRAFTS from Agile Turtle.
Well, that is a good app to end the
It's the exact opposite of last week. I'm done making paper clips. I'm going to do something real now.
So next week, we're not here.
HomePod. We're not here next week. You know why? We're busy enjoying family and friends, the Yule log, and the gifts we have given and received.
But we have a gift for you, which is an episode that we recorded previously. Brand new episode where we talk about how to set up your stuff. We'll tell you how to set up your new iPhones, your new iPads, all your new stuff. We'll talk about where you're going to charge all the stuff, some tools for that. And we have a little bit of fun, too. We wear hats. And we will also tell you our favorite apps of the year.
The week after that is our best of episode.
Is it?
Isn't it?
No, the week after that, we're back.
Shoot.
That is our best of episode. And then the week after that, bright and early on January 2nd, we are back live. I'm back. Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Okay. I hope to trick you. So the day after New Year's Day, we will be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and only slightly hungover.
Mm-hmm.
We hope.
And hopefully you will be here. I know you said yesterday you were a little afraid of falling off the boat that you're going on.
Yeah, you said I should wear a life preserver the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a lot of work.
Well, I don't know.
I guess I better. I don't want to fall off a boat. I'm going to be on a sailboat in the Caribbean with my son for a week. And I'm looking forward to that. And I will be, you can look for anchor.fm podcasts because I can record right into my watch. You look for pictures and then look for my obituary when I fall off the boat.
So instead of doing our obligatory New Year's resolutions, because who cares? Maybe we'll talk about all the apps that you used.
Research shows, again, they do this. You know, every year they do this. Research shows New Year's resolutions are rarely kept past January.
Mm-hmm.
Research shows. This is my resolution. I'm going to use drafts to get all that stuff out of my head and be a little more effective in getting the things done that I want to get done.
Yeah, maybe in 2 weeks we'll share how we both used drafts.
I think you're going to like it.
I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. And you know what I got? Shh, don't tell anybody because it's a Christmas gift for Henry. A bullet journal. For me and Henry and his friend, we're all going to start journaling.
And what I realized, you said you got the lectern journals.
I did that. Those are they're beautiful, aren't they?
That is the bullet journal from Ryder Carroll. I think that's the same one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a German.
Did you get nice pens? Did you get colored pens? You need colored pens.
No, but I got lovely rubber stamps that you can stamp your things and stuff. Oh. Actually, you know what I got for Henry? Is a traveler's notebook, and I will show you that next time on iOS Today. Well, a little paper thing.
Twitch.tv/iOS. Subscribe.
Yes.
If
you want to watch us do the show live and make fools of ourselves with funny hats, you can do that as well. We do the show as soon as Leo gets here, roughly 9:30 Pacific time in the morning. That's 12 noon to 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. You know, it'd be, you know, 1700 or 1800 UTC. Come by, say hi, watch at the twit.tv/live.
Yeah, tickets at twit.tv.
Yeah, we really want to emphasize this, that people should not just drop by. We're concerned about security. I want to protect our staff and make sure everybody's safe. So if you want to watch us live, we love it if you do, but you must email tickets at twit.tv and let us know you're coming. That will really be, we would really appreciate that. And we cannot guarantee that if you just drop in, we'll be able to show you around. Thank you, everybody. See you next time on iOS Today.